The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions. Hello, I'm Rabbi Matt Schneeweis, and this is the Stoic Jew Podcast, where we explore the relationship between Judaism and Stoicism. So you may have noticed that I have not posted an episode since February 1st, and I once again find myself at a bit of a roadblock, but this is a different kind of roadblock than the usual. So let me walk you through the timeline. On February 1st, in 2023, I had to think about the year for a second, I made the episode entitled Preparing to Grieve for Popo, My 98-Year-Old Grandmother. Okay, so that was on a Wednesday. So on Thursday at 7:15 a.m., then I received the call from my mom informing me that Popo had died. So the timing actually was very good that I went through that preparation, that mental preparation, by recording the podcast, because even though obviously I was very sad to hear the news, then it I think thinking about this helped me. And actually my mom told me that she was in the middle of listening to my podcast episode when she got the news. So that was on at 7:15 a.m. on Thursday, February 2nd. Then 3 hours later, I received the news that one of the last students I had taught in Shalhavit, in the high school that I taught at before the pandemic, one of the students, Adira Kofsky, who was in her her gap year program in Israel, died in a tragic car accident. A car lost control in the rain and struck her as she was walking, and she died. And she was 18 and a half years old. And the news of that really ripped through me. And the fact that it happened so soon after Popo died kind of did strange things to my grieving process, because Popo's death was expected and Adira's death was not at all, and just so tragic. And then I basically canceled everything that day. And then one of my own students, Yehoshua, offered to let me kind of engage in a quasi shiva process of, like, you know, talking. You know, we had a scheduled chavrusa that afternoon, and we were going to we were going to be learning. But then he said, you know, if you want to just take that time to just talk about Popo and Adira, then I would be happy to facilitate that. And so I thanked him, and then an hour later he texted me to tell me that his mother had died. And then at the end of the day, I found out that the passenger in the car that killed Adira was the father-in-law of one of my friends and teachers, and he also died. So it was 4 deaths on one day, and 2 people who I knew very well and 2 people who I didn't know, but were still connected to these other 2 people, or to 2 people who I did know. And that was on February 2nd, and it was a roller coaster of a week for the next week. And, you know, at several points throughout the week, I did consider using the Stoic Jew podcast as a platform for processing my feelings and sharing things. And then after Shiva was over for these individuals, not for Popo because she's not Jewish, but for the 3 Jewish individuals who died, then I considered making a reflection on an episode to reflect on what I had gone through and what I had learned. But frankly, I kind of wanted to move on. And it's not like I didn't reflect on these things. In fact, I wrote a lot more personal stuff than I usually write. I wrote this and shared it on Facebook and in my WhatsApp group. And I published most of it on my Substack, rabbishnevis.substack.com. And on Friday, I did write a reflection on my grieving process. But once I got through all of that, then I felt like, okay, it is time to move on. Of course, I don't want to say that all of the sadness and grief is gone, but I was done with that. And it kept on nagging at me that, like, this is what Stoicism prepares us for. And I did employ Stoic techniques to process what was going on as it was happening and after the fact. And I feel like it would be shortchanging the listeners of this podcast to not share any of that. So that was my quandary. And as a result of that quandary, I haven't made any episodes until now. So I think in order to, and I don't see any foresee any end of this quandary. I knowing myself, I'm just going to keep spinning my wheels and going back and forth until I just don't end up making any episodes for a while. So instead of doing that, I think I want to just state one insight or one thought about Stoicism and Judaism on this topic, and then that will be my mati or my license to move on. Okay, so if you are interested in the insights that came about through my grieving process, then I will link all of the Substack articles below in the show notes. And I encourage you to read that because that is where I reflected on everything in a public way. And I think that there are valuable insights that I came away with, and I hopefully conveyed through my writing. But today, I just want to focus on one simple other insight. Okay, so I'm going to do something I don't usually do, which is to read a piece from Ryan Holiday. Okay, so Ryan Holiday is one of the Stoicism content producers out there who does, in my opinion, a very good job. I know some people are critical of him, but I watering down the teachings, I don't find that at all. I think he's very good, and I use his Daily Stoic book. And have, you know, read the entry for each day. And then I also have a subscription to his Daily Stoic email. And this is the email from May 10th, 2022. Okay. And the reason why I'm reading this is not only because it's good, but because I don't know, he refers to some sources and he doesn't cite them. So because most of them are biographical. So I don't know where to cite them. So this is the closest thing I could do to reading it firsthand. So very short email. He says, "We know that Marcus Aurelius cried when he was told that his favorite tutor passed away. We know that he cried that day in court when he was overseeing a case and the attorney mentioned the countless souls who perished in the plague that had ravaged Rome. We can imagine Marcus cried many other times. This was a man who was betrayed by one of his most trusted generals. This was a man who lost his wife of 35 years. This was a man who lost 8 children, including all but one of his sons. Marcus didn't weep because he was weak. He didn't weep because he was unstoic. He cried because he was human, because these very painful experiences made him sad. Antoninus, Marcus's stepfather, seemed to be a bit more in touch with his emotions than his young stepson. He seemed to understand how hard Marcus worked to master his temper and his ambitions and his temptations, and that this occasionally made him feel bottled up. So when his stepson's tutor died and he watched the boy sob uncontrollably, he wouldn't allow anyone to try to calm him down or remind him of the need for a prince to remain his composure. Quote from Antoninus, neither philosophy nor empire takes away natural feeling." End quote. The same goes for you. No matter how much philosophy you've read, no matter how much older you've gotten, or how important your position, or how many eyes are on you, it's okay to cry. You're only human. It's okay to act like one. Okay, so that's Marcus Aurelius's grief. Okay, now compare that to Epictetus, who I've read this many times as an example of what I see as one of the biggest problems in Epictetus's brand of Stoicism, and also I think is bad for branding purposes, because it promotes the Stoic with a lowercase s definition of someone who is unfeeling. Okay, so Epictetus writes, well, I guess he doesn't write this, his student Arian, who wrote down all of his teachings, writes in the handbook in Enchiridion chapter 3, "With respect to any of those things you find attractive or useful or have a fondness for, recall to mind what kind of a thing it is, beginning with the most trifling. So if you are fond of an earthenware pot, say, I am fond of an earthenware pot. Then you will not be upset if it gets broken. When you kiss your child or wife, say that you are kissing a human being, a mortal. Then, should they die, you will not be distressed." So again, I think that that is absolutely wrong and detrimental if a person were to attempt to adhere to that philosophy. I think it would lead to suppressing natural feeling and emotions, and that is only going to end in disaster and prolong the suffering and the grieving, and is going to be very very bad. So I'm not going to take any steps to or any pains to hide the fact that I took the approach of Marcus Aurelius, which was on that Thursday and really for several days afterwards, I allowed myself to cry whenever I felt like crying. And sometimes the crying was as the result of just thinking about all the deaths that happened that day, thinking about my relationships with Popo and with Adira. And sometimes it just was prompted uncontrollably, you know. Sometimes it was as a result of someone reaching out and asking how I'm doing. Sometimes it was, you know, I couldn't, for the first, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 days, I couldn't talk about Adira without starting to cry. And so I think that that was very, very good for me. And I think allowing myself to feel what I was feeling, but the key thing being allowing myself to feel, was the was what really helped me through my grief. And also allowing myself to express my thoughts and feelings in writing in a genuine manner. That was really what I wrote about in my article this past Friday. That instead of attempting to, I don't know, to put up a front and convey insights in a detached, abstract manner, I allowed myself to teach and convey these ideas as I thought and felt them. And that, I think, really helped me. And so that's why I really gravitate towards Marcus Aurelius. And I think Seneca also. I don't have a quote about grief from Seneca, but if you just read Seneca's writings, it's clear that he wrote about his genuine feelings and his emotions. And I think that that's much healthier than the way that, I don't know if this is actually Epictetus's, the way he presented himself, or just the way that his student presented his teacher's ideas. But Epictetus does come across as someone who's suppressing natural feeling. Now, since this is the Stoic Jew podcast, and since I am a Jew, and since this is the procedure I followed, I want to conclude with what I think is the best approach, which is that of the Rambam, which I'm sure I've read this in some episode before. This is in the Mishneh Torah, Sefer Shoftim, Hilchos Evil. So the Book of Judges in the Laws of Mourning, chapter 13, Halachos 11 and 12. He says, Al yiskashe adam al meso yeser midai. A person should not, literally yiskashe al means be hard on himself over his over the deceased excessively. The yoser midai. Shnemar, as it says, al tivku lemes al tenudulo. As it says in Yirmiyahu Chaf Beis Yud, Jeremiah 22:10, do not cry for the dead and don't nod your head for him. Okay, which the Rambam explains, Klomar, this means to say yes or midai. It means excessively. In other words, don't cry excessively or nod your head excessively. I don't really know what the nodding of the head business is. Shezehu min hagosha olam, because this is the way of the world, meaning death is the way of the world. V'hametzayir atzmo al minhag ha'olam harize tipish. Someone who makes himself suffer over the way of the world is an idiot. Ella, ketzad yase, rather, what should he do? Shlosha lebechi, 3 days for crying. Shiva lehesped, the remaining days of Shiva, meaning from day, from after 3 days until seven, is for eulogizing. All those 7 days are for eulogizing, but in other words, 3 days is for crying. The full 7 days is for hesped, for eulogizing. Shloshim yom letisporos l'shar hachamisha, and then the 30 days is for the adhering to the prohibitions of getting your hair cut, and the other five prohibitions of shloshim. And then he says, kol she'eno misabel k'mo shetivu chachamim. But anyone who does not mourn as the sages commanded, harizei achzari, this person is cruel or indifferent. Achzari, my understanding is it's a compound word from achzar, only a stranger, meaning that you're breaking identification and you're distancing yourself from your fellow human being. Ella, rather, yifchad v'yidag v'yifashbish b'masa v'yachzor b'tshuva. Rather, a person should fear and worry and analyze his actions and return into teshuva. V'echad mibnei chabura shemes tidag kol chabura kula. And if a member of your social group dies, then the entire social group should worry and fear and engage in teshuva in the manner described above. And then he goes on to explain how to do that, which I'm not going to talk about today. So this, in my opinion, is the genius of halakha, right? Because you have Epictetus on the one hand, who is saying, don't grieve and don't mourn. Okay, and I think that's inhuman. And you have Marcus Aurelius, who, again, I don't have a statement from him, but who has a sort of, who holds that it's okay to give into the natural feeling and it's human, and that's fine. But that, as the Rambam points out, could get carried away. In other words, a person could end up not moving on from that and being mitzayir al minhago shel olam and being distressed about the way of the world. And that person would be, in very judgmental terms, a tipesh, a fool, right? And that's really why Epictetus takes his approach of saying, well, earthenware pots break. So if it breaks, what did you expect to happen? And human beings die. Well, what did you expect to happen? But halacha really allows, it provides a framework for the natural feelings, but then guides those natural feelings towards truth and reality and away from fantasy and falsehood. And I only read a little bit of the, you know, one halakha, two halakhos here in the Laws of Mourning, but anyone who has either studied or even just read the Laws of Mourning sees how instrumental the structure of the Laws of Mourning, how instrumental Laws of Mourning can be in helping you to process your feelings in a healthy way. So I think that I'm not making any new points here, but I think going through this process or really watching the whole system of Hilchos Avelos, of the Laws of Mourning, kick into gear, both with my my students and her, my student's family, and then both of them are my students, with my student Adira's family who lost her, and then my student Yehoshua who lost his mother, and then paying the shiva calls to both of these places, and then, you know, talking about and thinking about the shiva process and shloshim and all these laws, really helped me to appreciate how insightful Judaism is at walking that balance between natural human feeling and reality, which is epitomized by Marcus Aurelius on the one hand and then Epictetus on the other. Okay, so I'm hoping that now that I've made this episode, then I will be able to make normal episodes again, and this will free up my writer's block, my podcaster's block, and allow me to make more content, because there's a lot of other insights that I want to talk about, and I hope to get to that next week. Okay, that is it for today's episode. Again, I will I've included the links to those articles I wrote in my grief in the show notes. So if you're interested in that, then please check it out. And also please subscribe to my Substack. I have so far kept up with the goal, except during my vacation, of writing an article per week. And most of the time, these are one-page articles on the Parsha. Occasionally, you got a little bit of a longer one, like this past Friday. Okay, that's it for today's episode. If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/Rabbi Schneeweis. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweis Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweis, and my Zelle and PayPal are MattSchneeweis@gmail.com. I also mentioned recently, if you want to set up a recurring payment so that Patreon doesn't get their cut, then feel free to set up a recurring payment on through Chase or through whatever other services make recurring payments. I don't know what's available. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you'd like to sponsor a day's or a week's worth of content, or if you're interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at rabbischneeweis@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening, thank you to my readers for reading, and thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.